When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Good memories are forever, said the dog on the tombstone. If you're living underneath the bridge, man, all roads lead to home. I got a hidden flask, I'm paid in cash, got a cross above my bed. You know, I hitchhiked from Chicago, and a man walks up and said, this is a union town, a union town.
The Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380 on the live line with us, international president of AFSCME, our friend Lee Saunders. Lee, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, Sly?
I'm pretty good for an old man. I played Tom Morello for you because you're meeting in Chicago, and he's a Chicago man, and he's a union man. And when the fight over Act 10 in Wisconsin happened, Morello came and spent a lot of time with us. So we appreciate his efforts.
We're here in Chicago for our convention. We're going to have about 5,000 delegates and alternates, and we're going to be charting a strong course for our union.
Well, it seems like your uniform. Years ago, somebody sent me a copy of the letter from your opponent, who is now saying how pleased he is with your open style of leadership and that it truly is a democratic union. That's got to be nice to hear.
It is nice to hear, and it's good to see that everyone is coming together. We know that we've got a huge fight on our hands, a huge battle on our hands with those who don't want to hurt us, Sly. They want to take us out of the ballgame completely, like the Koch brothers and the Scott Walkers of the world. So we're coming together in Chicago because everyone is united. We know that we've got to develop a plan and a strategy to be together in solidarity and to fight like never before, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
How much of the battle is misinformation?
Oh, a lot of it's misinformation. I mean, if you listen to a lot of these governors and a lot of these pundits and the extremists, they claim that public service workers are the privileged class, and it's our fault that the economies are tanking in state after state. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. And you know that, Sly. I mean, our members average around $40,000 a year in salary. Our retirees average $20,000 a year in benefits. I don't consider that the privileged class. And that's why not only AFSCME members, but working families and members of other trade unions, we've got to come together as a community like never before. And we've got to rebuild a movement, not just a labor movement, but a movement to fight the 1% who are trying to gain more power and wealth at the expense of the 99% who are trying to play by the rules.
I take it you're basically saying for too long unions were kind of on autopilot and didn't explain to their members the importance of being active and building a movement from the ground up?
Oh, I think we've got to be honest with one another, and the unions need to be honest and look at the kinds of things that we're doing right, but also look at what we're doing wrong and fix it. And I think that to a certain extent we were complacent, all of us, but no more. And we've got to go back to 101 basic organizing, and that is talking to our members, talking with our communities, knocking on doors, making those phone calls, being very, very visible, talking about what the labor movement has meant to this country, but also energizing and mobilizing and educating our members. The only way you do that is through that one-on-one communication, and that's what we're getting back to.
After the Quinn versus Harris decision, I watch Fox, so you don't have to, Lee. Here's a couple clips of some of their conservative pundits talking about unions. This is Jonathan Honig, who has a website. He's in Chicago. It's called capitalistpig.com. Here's Mr. Honig.
Healthcare workers in Illinois can't be forced to pay union fees if they're not in a union. Jonathan, this could be good for all workers, yeah?
Well, yeah, anytime you can get rid of force in America, that's a positive thing. And Eric, unions have to use it because they can't compete in a free market. So they use government really as a weapon, getting these special deals, special advantages that aren't given to any other group or any other individual. And as you mentioned it, in Illinois, they wanted to get every home health care worker classified as a public employee. Why? Because they get Medicaid dollars. Well, you can't be in health care without getting Medicaid dollars. So what are unions intending? Today's economy, they're fascist parasites. They only support a free society when they're at the helm.
And here's Michelle Fields.
Of course not. They're in the business of giving money to Democratic candidates and Democratic causes. Look, this ruling is great. It's great for the economy. It's great for jobs. I only wish that it extended to all public sector unions. You know, if unions are so great, Juan, why aren't people voluntarily joining them? Because they know that their money is basically stolen from them and given to Democratic candidates. Isn't it? I don't think it's a coincidence that every highly unionized domestic industry in this country has basically collapsed because of unions. Because they drive up the cost of doing business. They're bad for the economy and bad for the American people.
I don't think Michelle or Jonathan are going to be at your convention.
They will not be invited, and they would not be welcome.
What's your reaction to that?
I think it's just complete nonsense. I could use stronger language, but I think that I will probably be bleeped off of your show.
I have to bleep myself sometime. Believe me, whenever I have Marty Beal on, I got the hand ready to hit the bleep button, so I'm ready.
Marty Beal, my buddy. Let me say this, and I'm not going to fall for that trap. I mean, here's the deal. First of all, unions and AFSCME and other unions are supportive and work very hard to build the middle class, to support working families. You do that through improving wages and working conditions and benefits of workers, not only within unions, but across the country. And unions have been successful in doing that. And I'm not ashamed of that at all. That's what we do. And we're going to continue to do that. Now, the Harris v. Quinn ruling essentially says that you can get the same level of benefits. You can get the wage increases. The unions have to negotiate for you, but you don't have to pay for that service. That's just like saying in a blue state, if in that blue state someone voted for Bush, then they wouldn't have to pay taxes. It's just complete and utter nonsense. But you know what? We're going to continue.
Are you telling me the decision that Justice Alito wrote for the majority was in support basically of mooching?
That's exactly right. A free rider, and it's mooching. They're receiving the same level of benefits, the increases that are negotiated, and we've been very successful in negotiating strong increases for home care workers and for child care workers, folks who are taking care of seniors, those that are disabled, watching your children. They deserve to have a fair wage, and that's exactly what we've been able to do, and we're going to continue to do that. They are. The people that don't want to pay dues, but they still get the benefits of being represented by a union, they ought to pay something, and we won't back off of that.
All right.
But this is what we're going to do, Sly, and it's real simple. We're not going to let this ruling get in our way. We're going to continue to organize. We're going to continue to grow our union by organizing home care workers and child care workers. We're going to improve their work lives. We're going to talk about the importance of the work that they provide to our seniors, to those that are disabled, to the children of our communities. And we're going to do the same kind of thing that we've done before. We are not going to let this get in our way.
All right, but shouldn't we dispel a couple myths that they dropped in there? First of all that you are asking is that they pay their fair share for the costs of bargaining the contract. They didn't have to belong to the union, correct?
That's exactly right. Okay. They're paying their fair share for receiving the benefits that are negotiated by the union. If they have political objections, then that money is taken out of the dues. But that money is basically for us negotiating increases and representing them on the job.
And do fair share dollars go to political advertising dollars for Democrats?
No, they do not.
So what you're saying is that just about everything they said was false.
Everything they said was false. I mean, and it's... But you've got to expect that from the extremist noise machine that's out there.
Was this an unusual case? Was the Illinois Harris versus Quinn case a little unusual because you had some people taking care of their own relatives? Why did the court rule the way they did in their so-called logic?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I cannot figure out the logic. I mean, what they said was that these were not public employees, that these were quasi public service workers, that they really did not work in an office building or in a highway like highway workers, and therefore they are not true public employees. Because they are not true public employees, then based upon the First Amendment, we should not be able to collect fair share fees from them.
But Because of the building they work in?
That's exactly right.
That's crazy talk.
It is crazy talk, but we aren't going to let it get
And Alito basically wrote in his majority opinion that he's looking for other cases to go after unions. Is that correct?
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. We know that this is going to be a constant battle. We know that this is going to be a constant fight. He will not rest. Alito and people like him and the extremists in this country will not rest until they completely cripple the public sector labor movement in this country. They are going to go after what we call the Abood decision, which enabled us in 1977, Abood versus Board of Education in Detroit, to have fair share fee payments to the unions for the work that we do on behalf of members of individuals who are not members of the union. They want to overturn that and make it essentially a national right to work law where if you don't want to pay the union, even though you're receiving benefits, you don't have to. That's their goal. That's what they're trying to do, and they're going to continue to work at that. And we've just got to fight like ever before to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Gosh, and I thought John Roberts said he was just going to be an umpire. It's the funniest thing, isn't it? Doesn't seem like an umpire to me. It doesn't seem like that's calling balls and strikes.
No, let me tell you something. I think that and we have nothing to lose with this. We're going to have to put pressure, and we're going to have some meetings to talk about what we do with the Supreme Court. Now, clearly, they serve on that court for life. But I think we can put some political pressure on them and work with our with other unions and our allies and our community. This court is so much tilted toward corporations and big business in this country while ignoring working families. And we've got to publicize that. We've got to talk about it and put some heat on them.
Stand by, Lee. I want to ask you a little bit about a controversy that sprung up today. Lee Saunders with us from Ask Me on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. The Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380 on the live line with us. President of Ask Me, Lee Saunders. He made the news today. A really fascinating story. I don't know if you're aware of this, Lee, but Rush Limbaugh called you a lunatic on his radio show today. Are you honored?
That's a compliment. That's a compliment coming from Rush Limbaugh.
he's very angry that AFSCME sent a letter to the United Negro College Fund after its president went and spoke at a Koch conference. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, first of all, let me say this, that we have had a relationship of a long-standing working relationship with the United Negro College Fund for the past 10 years. We work with a program we call the Union Scholars Program. And that program gives sophomores and junior students of color the opportunity to work with AFSCME so we can prepare them for possibly a career within the labor movement or a career in working for progressive organizations, organizations that support social and economic justice. So we've had this relationship with them and for over 10 years now. We learned a couple of weeks ago that the UNCF has entered into an agreement and a deal with the Koch brothers where they're receiving $25 million. I think it's over a 7 or 8 year period. Not from the Koch brothers, Sly, who happened to be the main force behind attacking voter rights, who happened to be the main force behind attacking workers' rights, who happen to be the main force behind attacking public education. They support ALEC, which introduces or helps conservative and extremist legislatures introduce in states introduce legislation that impacts in a negative way on working families. They are accepting money from this organization. But what is worse about this is that the president of UNCF is actually going across the country and participating in Koch conferences and Koch brothers conferences, and he's promoting what they're doing.
I know. Would these be would these be Koch parties?
You said that. I didn't. Okay, but it really is. I mean, you know, there's a saying within UNCF that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Well, we've also got to be principled about what we do, and a principle is a terrible thing to waste. And for them to accept money from people who are literally trying to harm our community and turn back the hand of time is unacceptable. So we have severed the relationship with UNCF, although we will continue in some form or fashion to work with other organizations so we can continue the Union Scholars Program, but it will not be with UNCF. We're severing our relationship with them. We're urging all of our affiliates across the country who have done fundraising for them, raised money for them. We're urging them to not to support UNCF and UNCF until they see the light of day. That's just like, you know, I mean, you're playing with the devil on this. And it's unacceptable to us, and it should be unacceptable to our communities.
Was there something that Mr. Lomax said that at these conferences that you found unusually galling?
Well, what he says is that they're a nonpartisan organization, and they should be able to accept money from any organization to benefit students of color. Well, I mean, you know, you have to be principled about this slide. Let me just say, also say this. He was sitting next to a guy, and I don't know if you've ever heard of him. His name is Charles Murray. He's the author
of the Bell Curve.
The Bell Curve. He was sitting next to him at a Koch Brothers conference, okay? Now, for those of, in your audience who don't know who Charles Murray is and don't know what the Bell Curve is, for decades, Murray has promoted the notion that overrepresentation of African Americans among America's poor and in America's prisons is a consequence not of history or the types of public policies that the Koch brothers promote, but it's a consequence of genetic inferiority. Now, to have Michael Lomax sitting next to this guy, an African-American Michael Lomax sitting next to this guy, who has said that, who is preaching this across the country, just is unbelievable, and it's amazing to me. And this is something that we just can't bury our heads in the sand. We've got to speak up and speak out about this travesty.
Has Michael Lomax, by accepting this money and going on this dog and pony show to these private Koch parties, has he betrayed the original charter and idea of the United Negro College Fund?
Oh, I believe he has. I believe he has. I mean, it's and I know that it's hard for organizations such as the UNCF to raise money. But again, you can't sell your soul to the devil. And you've got to have some principles. And he is crossing the line based upon the principles that were established, I believe, by the UNCF. They want to give students a shot and a chance at achieving the American dream, yet the Koch brothers are stealing that dream away from so many families across the country. It's inconsistent, it's wrong, and we're going to continue to say that it's wrong all over the country.
I read an extensive piece the other day on how the killing of government jobs, decent jobs, has been very harmful to the economy, and one of the reasons we've had lagging economic growth. Has the attack on public unions had a disproportionate effect compared to the general population on African Americans?
Sure it has, because in the public service, in the public sector, that has been the means by which a number of families in the African American community have been able to put bread on the table, move into the middle class, provide educational opportunities for those kids, for their kids and for their family members. And with public service jobs drying up, with people attacking our pensions and attacking livable wages that have been negotiated, then those values are going down the tubes, and African American families are suffering. But all families are suffering when public services decline across the country, and that's something that that we've just got to fight every single day about.
So basically, taking money from the Koch brothers, you say, is like taking money from the devil.
I would say that, yes, indeed.
Is it the deliberate effort to suppress the African-American vote? We've seen the rallies of Moral Mondays in North Carolina. Obviously, there's been a big fight here in Wisconsin over voter ID that's still being litigated in the courts. You believe the Koch brothers have deliberately tried to suppress the African-American vote?
There's no question in my mind. By supporting these laws in state after state after state, and they're responsible for promoting these laws, for pushing for these laws through organizations like ALEC, they are doing this because they want to see their extremist friends get into office. One of the ways you do that is to suppress the vote, so the Democratic base cannot get out because that vote is being suppressed. So this is a calculated and coordinated move in state after state after state. And for the UNCF to accept money from two brothers who have made it very, very clear what they're about and who they are. It's just unacceptable to me, and it should be unacceptable to millions of Americans.
One final thing, Lee. This is Rush Limbaugh talking about Scott Walker the other day. I thought you'd appreciate hearing this.
As I like to say, I have been chronicling on this program for the past year the real, substantive, overwhelming success of Scott Walker in Wisconsin. Scott Walker is a conservative. He is a Reaganite conservative. He has beaten back every liberal attempt to destroy him. How? The media wasn't on his side. He didn't have a PR firm doing his bidding. There were Democrats and media and other leftists trying to intimidate him, threaten him and his family. Today, Wisconsin, I've got the story somewhere here in the stack. It's a profound story. Should have found it during the break. It is a story of how Wisconsin is on the way to becoming red. Now, it isn't. It isn't red. But the dramatic change in Wisconsin is profound, and it's based on substance and based on reality.
Your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, I think you've got to look at facts. One of the facts is that in the state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker promised that he would grow the number of jobs within that state. The last figures that I saw was that he was dead last as far as the creation of jobs in the Midwest, comparing it to any other state in the Midwest. Does that sound like he's been successful in what he promised to do? I don't think so. He's attacked public education. He's attacked public services. He's hurt working families throughout that state. So I disagree with everything, obviously, and that's not surprising, that Limbaugh just said. And the facts don't support what he was talking about. And that's why it's so important. That is why it is so important. That we recognize that these elections in November of 2014, not only in the state of Wisconsin, the governor's race in Wisconsin, we've got 36 governor's races across the country, the Senate races across the United States, we've got to get our folks out and make a strong statement that they are supporting and we are supporting working families, that we're supporting fairness in this country. We don't want to take this country backwards. We want to move it forward. And the only way that we can do that is at the ballot box in November.
Should any union that endorses Scott Walker be kicked out of the AFL-CIO?
I would say this. I would have a conversation with any union that would endorse Scott Walker based upon what he did in the public service. It's not my position to say that they should be kicked out. But it would be my position to explain to them why I think that their position was dead wrong, and I would do just that.
Lee Saunders from Ask Me. Good luck with your convention, and we look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Good talking to you, Sly.
Have a great day.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.